I've heard you're very particular down here in Cork when it comes to poetry. So very different now up in Leinster. So I'm going to start with a festina, which is very hard. But it goes my own way. It's called Literal Reaction. Something has made a muddle of my world. The change recent. I used to be normal, but developed an allergy to poems. Don't ask me how, and now I don't belong here anymore. I'm dazzled by the sights of dangerous verses which blind my mind. I used to cope before. I didn't mind the art. I could dodge the creative world, the product displayed at the edge of sight. To be without poetry is normal. Tomes hidden in corners where they belong. The inaccessible shelf is for poems. I did have the odd encounter with poems, but believed my ailments were in my mind. Anaphylactic reactions belonged only in my subliminal world. Reading Seamus Heaney wasn't normal without an outbreak of hives. I was sight, face a pox. My body I kept out of sight, wheezed and sneezed within 50 feet of poems. But this new arts regime, it's abnormal. What made them get creative, change their minds, and open access to the lyric world? It's as if they think literature belongs to all, not to the minority who belong to the literati. Verse in plain sight, I ask you, grants for pubs, banks, PC world, sonnets at bus stops, rondos on roofs, poems to be read everywhere you bring to mind. Surely, reader, this isn't the normal behaviour of a culture where normal is strictly with wine. This concept belongs in the madhouse. Are they out of their minds? Limericks and limerick, odes in sight of innocence. They're deadly, all these poems. Abolish this public poetry world, and then my world will return to normal. Shove all those poems back where they belong, locked away, out of sight and out of mind. I've met quite a few poets in my time, and they're all delightful. But some of them are more delightful than others, and this is about a kind of a conglomeration of a couple of usually male poets that I've read. It's called Drunk the Poet. Actually, see if any of you recognise him. He's not from Cork, so might be hard. Stewed features lean in, eyes checking that I'm still listening, and I am still listening. He's dragging me down a path to God knows where. Are you with me? I am. Poised to catch him when he falls, for fall he will, he has no doubt about it. He embarks on a rant against rhyme, form, tearing into line ending, and the nausea, when it's wrong, throws up vowel sounds, juxtapositions and stanzas fully formed. He launches a tirade on readings where no one came, or he stole the show from the headline act and how the kids think he's great. And I think he's great. A great waste of talent spilling from the glass, and I want to save him. I do. He needs someone to mind him, listen to, and forgive him. God forbid, sleep with him. But that's a lot to ask, and I can see a lot of worry, stains, and trouble ahead. Lost days, late nights, all this for the sake of a few poems. What if, after all this, he won't be, wasn't? What if he's not that great? I go to quite a few poetry readings around the place. I was actually in Ennis this weekend. There's one up there. There's a few poets there. There's more up in the Dublin Book Festival. But this is about a reading I went to a while ago. where the he was actually a fiction reader, but he had the most wonderful voice that I found I wasn't really listening to what he was saying. Plus he was very, very good looking. Reaching agreement. And I realized I'm listening to your voice, not your speech, nor any of your points. So you've considered everyone, deliberated for hours, weighed the argument. But I'm zoned out, the latent rumble that's near the limits of perception, tuned to a harmonic that sets whales singing. The enveloping timbre would sway a jury, would sell a pianola. Your lips move, but what I'm hearing is the way you pace the space between the words, phrasing so there's something more than silence, an emphasis pregnant with promise. I'm wondering how it would sound if you were murmuring my name, intoning, moaning the buttered safety of it. Your breath is measured, the rhythms soothe me, cajole and warm me to an undeniable, joyous yes to whatever it was you said. Now, it's International Women's Day. It's actually today, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll do a couple of more women-based poems. I'm just old enough to be able to call myself feminist without feeling like it's a dirty word. I don't know why it's gone out of fashion. Like, I don't think my daughter would consider herself feminist. Does anyone else know the younger generation? They still talk about feminism like it's not a bad thing to be.
Apparently.
Yeah. I don't understand that. This is one about my mother, kind of, while it lasted. One day when I was 13, my mother's hands fell off. They rolled under the table, giving the cat a bit of a turn. We looked at them, but they gave no sign, a couple of twitches, and that was that. Mum stood at the chopping board, still as a goalpost. Dad made a lie on the shade and put on the potatoes. She lay holding her bloody stumps high so they wouldn't make a mess of the gold velvet. Dad cooked her dinner and dished up. We gave her a plate too, but how could she eat? "Don't mind me," she said. I gave her a bite of my ham or of my broccoli. Dad asked if he should call the doctor. "I do want to make a fuss." The cat jumped on her lap, but having no hands, she couldn't stroke her or tip her off. She rubbed her head against my mother's cheek, then let her wind in and out of my legs, instead purring, which she never did before. "You go up and enjoy yourself," Mum said. So I went and watched Top of the Pops with the door shut, tied up my school blouse and danced on the rug like Pan's people, and didn't turn down the volume for the loud ones. Dad asked her if she wanted to go to the pub. "I don't want to be in the way," she said, and read the same page of the paper over and over. The next day I made my own school lunch, had toast for breakfast instead of Weetabix. Dad put Mum's hairs neatly in a Tupperware box and stored them next to the lentils. "Don't worry about me," said Mum, "I'll get by." Weeds grew, dust gathered, the cat shed ginger hairs. We lived on fish and chips and Chinese. Dad shopped and washed, I cooked and cleaned. We gave up ironing and cabbage, mowing the lawn. Mum's stumps healed up nicely. On the shelf next to the mouldy lentils, her hands shriveled like marigold seeds. Then the cat caught a blackbird, ate it, sipped it up all over the floor. We stared at the lake of vomit and feathers. "It was good while it lasted," Mum sighed. She opened the Tupperware with her teeth, screwed both hands back in, and filled the bucket with hot soapy water. This is one about a walk we went on, the last time it snowed, not this winter, it was a few winters ago, up in Kerry actually. Snow women. Do you remember the snow woman we made on the slopes of Harren Tool, that winter hike with Dad and Joe, when you and I turned back and they hiked on across the brook on ticking stones? We rolled her body, then her head, fashioned scrubs for hair, pebbled eyes, nose, a twig mouth, shaped her curves and found a green branch to point downhill. She'll be spring melt, that I know, gone to ground in a slow curtsy, but perhaps her arm remains, left behind, to show the way home. This is one about finding a lump. For now, it's just a lump. I like it, or lump, a one lump or two, a lump sum the size of a €2 coin, a heads or tails, an issue or isn't she, all lumped in together, except it's only me, on my own, with my lump. And everywhere my lump, I go, my lump goes too. My thoughts circle it like a wary cat, like Schrodinger's cat, neither dead nor alive until someone opens the box. I have to hold it together for a few more days. I smile benignly, make believe I'm not terrified, scared to touch it in case it spreads. So until my appointment, it's only a lump right here. Okay, so the court poem called The Light, fantastic subtitle, I Wish I Was on the N71. Beyond the back of beyond, along a high hedge meander, a heavy pause rested, like the silence on an empty beach after a surface wave. I sat with my finger on the map as you tried to read between the folds. You pulled over at a sign saying, Dancer Cows Crossing, and we watched the Frisian hoofers pirouette out of the field, conga up the lane, and soft shoe shuffle into the field. The farmer quick stepped, the gate shut, and we tripped on. And that was being mildly lost in Westport. And this one is being very lost. Southern Road. We are a small bit lost. The map seems precise. Along a forested road, past a tumble-down house. Left here, right, straight on. Travelling down a line which becomes a byway. On a narrow track, clover and milk thistle grow, a meridian of petals. We plough on together. It's too late to turn around, green staining our wheels, across a wide meadow, leading with the slightest of ruts, leading over the rise. A route existed here once, a route existed here, leading over the rise with the slightest of ruts, across a wide meadow. Green staining our wheels, it's too late to turn around. We plough on together, a meridian of petals, clover and milk thistle grow on the narrow track, which becomes a byway. Travelling down a lane, left here, right, straight on, along a forested road, past a tumble-down house, the map seems precise. We are a small bit lost. So this is a poem about feeling inadequate. I don't know. Conquer. Sometimes things happen along the way while I sit on this wooden chair, waiting for my life to start. A man comes along, great, fine. A child, another child, wonderful, great. And this and that. And sometimes someone brings me a cup of tea. And sometimes someone brings me a letter, and once someone brought me a conker. It sat on the palm of my hand, flawless gloss, hard reflecting the light bulb above my head, caramel skin taut around its secret, it sat on my palm. It sits on my palm and the brightness goes and I can't see the light in it. It shrivels, wrinkles, caves in on itself. Someone comes and takes it away. I was in Monaghan last month. Is there anyone from Monaghan here? They do things a bit different there. Monaghan mosquitoes. There are mosquitoes in Monaghan the size of bats. Easier to kill. And leave a telltale flat that swamps the bed. But where there's one, there's three others. Their wine's as heavy as a dentist's drill. They can suck the lifeblood out of a woman in 8.2 seconds flat. At night, they crouch on my pillow and chase me through my dreams, whispering homespun criticism. All those words. It's not very good, is it? We've read it and it's rubbish. There's no spark, nothing special. We've read it. Why do you bother? Give it up. Give it up. I'm not going back to my life. I was chatting to some girlfriends a while ago, and they were telling me that the conversation moved on to how people have been proposed to, and there's only wonderful romantic stories, you know, Eiffel Tower and roses and rings in jelly and stuff like that. And I thought about how it happened to me. I could lie. I could make it up. I could tell you it was in a fancy restaurant, cushioned in strawberry mousse, sweeter than velvet. I could say it was a summer night, a plump moon, pink champagne, roses. I could lie and say it took me by surprise. I cried, he cried, diners clapped, waiters cheered, fireworks filled the sky, harps, violins. But it was not so. It was a Saturday morning, a supermarket run, an underground car park. It was a zip stuck on my jacket. He knelt down, jeans skimming an oil stain. I looked at his head, touched the thinning patch that so tall no one knew was there but me. His hands tugging the zip, his breath steaming like exhaust fumes, and I said, while you're down there, while you're down there, why don't you ask me? And smiling up, he did. I could tell you it was like this. This is on the theme of Oscars, about going to cinema. It's called The Full Experience. It's a fantasy. I want to know it's fantasy. As the light dims, he ambles by, fumbles in his pocket, his muscles shape his thin shirt, spicy aftershave, hair velvet shorn, long lean legs, soft leather belt, and the grace of Fred Astaire. In another life, in an other life, I follow him to the foyer. We scoop five flavours of Ben and Jerry's and climb to the projection room. As the film reels overhead, we sample, rip off our clothes and make love, dirty, sticky love down among the popcorn. In a life, in this life, I note him passing. Reach over and squeeze your thigh. You take my hand. The music builds, and we face the screen. I prefer the front row for the full lecture. There's a couple about kids. This is actually about me when I was young. Yeah, yet another fantasy about an alternate life, starting to know a very small, called Prune. I do not belong in this family, just so you know. My real name is Princess Daffodil. I don't know how I got here. Sometimes fairies, a mix-up at the hospital. My real mummy and daddy are king and queen. And they love me very much and never argue. And one day they'll come in their golden coach and take me away. They won't shout or make me eat prunes. They'll let me stay up late and watch TV whenever I want. Just so you know, I'll be glad that day, and then you'll be really, really sorry. Okay, this one's about a teenager. And so, you know how you never end up with as many pairs as you have socks? The happiest sock. The happiest sock is the sock of a one-legged man, yearning to break from the conventionalism of two, free from society's expectations and impositions. It plans to get away, start a new life as a loner. Just you wait and see. It didn't ask to be one of a pair. It's so unfair. Then it disappears with like-minded individuals to dusty corners, skulks around the back of the cylinder, having loud conversations, swears a lot, checks your listening, wiggles its toes at tights. Yet it's still not sure what to do with all those leathers. And though it's testing the boundaries, striving to express its originality, a hole here, there, here, a smudge mark there, see if I care. In truth, it's desperate to fit in. Its clique remains an amorphous flock. Each difference is more of the same. Nothing new here. Move on. Nothing we haven't seen before. And when you're very small children, they're continually bringing home artwork from school. That kind of don't know what to do with them. Is there anyone with very small children now who are filling up the house with amazing art pieces? If I can find it, this is about one of those that my daughter brought home. No, okay. Hello, I don't think we're reading that one. Oh, no. It's what you put into it. On the last day of term, you brought home a present, placed it under the tree. A light, chest-shaped mystery, wrapped in potato-stamped paper, intricate with angels and stars. Christmas morning, you watched as we opened it, cautious not to tear the covering. Inside, a margarine tub, empty. Do you like it? Eyes huge. It's beautiful. What is it, sweetheart? A box full of love, he says. You should know. Oh, my darling girl. It's on the dresser still, and from time to time, we open it. I'll read one about housework or running out. I mean to say, why is it so difficult? Doesn't he see it, the empty roll? The replacement standing fatly. I mean to say, just bring it out and change it. Why can't you? Is it so hard? My grandmother told me, men don't see dirt, men don't see. I mean to say, just change it, why can't you? And I say, just change. Couple more now. This one's about. I'm not very good at football. I don't really have the vocab for soccer. And I came downstairs to one evening to watch Grey's Academy and Grey's Anatomy. And there's still some football match going on, and the commentator says there are only 6 minutes of normal time remain. And I thought, what happened then? There's only 6 minutes of normal time remain. Then it gets weird. The foul forward dives into the grass with a splash and is never seen again. The backs run the centre half into four fifths forward and offside, off bottom, off top, off the other side, of underneath, outside, through side and far side. The keeper called handball, eyeball, crystal ball, hairball, basketball and basket tape. There's a free kick, a paid kick, a cheap kick, a cheap trick, cheap skate, but he makes the save. Save space, save that you earn, save my soul to the corner. It hits the goalpost, moves the goalpost. Post the moon goal, post the red card, the purple card, the green card to America, and he's sent off, sent away off the fence and on the bench, on the rocker, off his rocker, watching the lines man, the circles man, the small parallelogram, till the whistle blows, wet and stops. Okay, this poem is about seduction, so if you listen very carefully, you may get some tips. This poem wants to have its way with you. It wants to seduce you with pretty words, extravagant promises, and imaginative insinuations. It wants to smother you in excessive protestations of desire and respect, lull you, make you laugh, lower your defences. This poem wants to tickle your fancy, whatever your fancy may be, and if you're willing, tickle a new fancy you've never considered before. This poem wants to come at you from a different angle, touch you in unfamiliar places. It wants to say it like it is. This poem wants to treat you exactly the same way it treated this poem. And then last one, it's about a dream. I quite often get ideas from poems from dreams. I had a dream the other night. Do you know the poet Pat Foran?
Yeah.
He was in my dream. And he's an editor for Deadlift Press. And he was editing one of the poems, a poem that I'd written, and it's a brilliant poem. And I knew in this dream that I was dreaming, and I was waking up, I was trying to remember the poem because it's so brilliant. And Pat Warren thought it was fantastic. Anyway, this is about another dream. It's called Mash, my last poem. Thank you very much for having me here. I really enjoyed it. I was at a village fete with you, hand in hand. In the sunshine, bouncy parcel, tombola, homemade jam. I judged the mashed potato contest, giving marks of presentation, flavour, consistency. The winner, a dimpled woman of Amish appearance. What's your secret? I asked before I woke. It's about love, she said. All about.